The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Welcome to Knowing Your Rights, the show dedicated to educating you, the listener, on your legal rights and resources available. This is episode 18. It's May 1st. It's May Day. I'm your host, Attorney Noah Davis, broadcasting live from Tacoma, Lakewood, Washington. Be sure to check out our website at www.knowyourrights.com. That has two R's in there. Don't forget the second R, www.knowyourrights.com, as we post the audio for each show as well as follow-up information on each program. You can also email me at noah@knowyourrights.com. Keep those emails coming. I definitely read them and respond. For today's show on this beautiful day, and I hope you're out there staying safe. Those May Day protests are going to heat up potentially a little bit, especially as it gets a little bit later in the day. And I think there's some marches coming down Seattle. That's probably where the center of the activity is. So if you're in Seattle, maybe close shop a little bit early, try to hit the roads. Some of the roads are going to be closed. I believe Parade goes down 4th and Jackson are in that vicinity. So you might want to avoid that area and try to leave a little bit early today. If you do leave early and you're listening to the show, this is a great one to tune into because this is part two of employment law. We promised last week that we'd hit some other issues in the employment law context, and what better to do than an employment law show on May Day, which is often a protest centered on employee slash workers' rights. So this is an unplanned, great coincidence, and it's perfect for today's show. Last week in episode 17, we provided some background information on your choice of law between federal statutes, such as the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which has sexual harassment and some race discrimination and other type claims, a very seminal, important federal statute. And we talked about the Washington state law that is seminal on employment law, employment discrimination, and that's the Washington Law Against Discrimination. You often hear it referred to as the WLAD or the WLAD law, but that's a Washington law on discrimination. We covered the EEOC last week, as well as the Washington State counterpart, the Washington Human Rights Commission, it's called, as well as some of the deadlines you have to move your case along. We focused last week mainly on wage and hour related disputes. So today, we're going to change gears, and for part two of our employment law session, we're going to address three areas: retaliation, discrimination against members of the military based on deployment status or active duty status, and if we have enough time, our third topic is sexual harassment. If we don't have enough time, we will break this down into part three of employment law, which we're really going to need anyway because we need to cover race-based and disability and age-based claims too. So we might even have a parts three, four, and five on that because those are all huge case areas. And remember, the claims and legal remedies that we're going to talk about today only apply in employment settings, not when you're at the park, not if you're at the bar, not unless you're working, not when you're out in traffic, enjoying the May Day parades, or out on the street, stuck in that traffic, being pretty unhappy and thinking you're being harassed, unless one of those situations I just talked about that has some relation to your employment. Maybe you're on employee hours. Maybe you're driving to and from a work site at the requirement of your employer. Maybe you're on the clock. You're with some coworkers. In those cases, and whether you're at the park with the coworkers, maybe you run a daycare and you're at the park or you work at a daycare. Those situations will end up changing the dynamic of the examples that I was giving to try to show that they don't apply in the employment setting, because in those cases, these other cases, they would. And when we're talking about whistleblowers, so this is another example of an area outside of what we're going to talk about. And that's when we're talking about whistleblower, as we are going to address here, we're not talking about the type of case you've heard in the news recently that involved Floyd Landis filing suit against Lance Armstrong. Remember the U.S. Postal Service and the team that competed on the Tour de France over in Europe. Well, Floyd Landis filed an action against Lance Armstrong under the Federal False Claims Act. And that was a whistleblower case, and you hear it referred to all the time as a whistleblower case, alleging that the government was defrauded. So he's acting as a party, like sort of a private attorney general on behalf of the federal government, suing a private party, saying that that party defrauded the government. And the government can choose whether or not to get involved, and ultimately they did. At first, though, when Floyd Landis filed that suit, Lance Armstrong, as he always did back then, came out super strong to say that, and so did Lance's representatives. I don't know if any attorneys were involved in these statements, but they were pretty strong statements lambasting Floyd Landis and calling him a serial liar. Well, that serial liar was just paid $1.65 million in legal fees and another $1.1 million as a settlement for being a whistleblower against Lance Armstrong and the federal under the Federal False Claims Act as a whistleblower. So that's another non-employment type whistleblower statute that's out there that's potentially available to folks that we're not going to cover today except for just making that passing reference. All right, let's start with retaliation and the Washington statute. The Washington statute is RCW 49.60.210. When we say that in court, we'll often just say 49.60.210. But Revised Code Washington, RCW, it's titled, the name of it's titled, Unfair Practices, Discrimination Against Persons Opposing Unfair Practice and or Retaliation Against Whistleblower. So that's 49.60.210, Unfair Practices. It's the retaliation statute or whistleblower statute for the employment context. Under Washington law, it's an unfair practice for any employer to discharge, expel, or otherwise discriminate against an employee because the employee opposed some practice that was forbidden by the Washington law against discrimination. So it's an unfair practice for any employer to discharge, expel, or otherwise discriminate against any employee because the employee opposed some practice forbidden by the discrimination law in Washington. Or a big or, because the employee him or herself filed a charge, testified in, or assisted in a proceeding involving the Washington law against discrimination. Well, so what does that mean? It means that if you file an EEOC complaint, we talked about that last week, if you file an EEOC complaint against your employer or a complaint with the state-based Human Rights Commission, and they have divisions all over the state, there's some in Olympia, Seattle has an office. I didn't look up all the offices. I'm guessing Tacoma has one too. But if you file a complaint with the EEOC or the Human Rights Commission or a lawsuit, or you report your employer to, for example, the Washington Labor and Industries, and your employer turns around and fires you, they could be in big trouble, i.e. liable to you for damages like lost wages, future wages, emotional harm, and attorney fees. The retaliation statute also protects you if you testify on behalf of another employee that was facing some form of discrimination or unfair employment practice. Or even if you stand up to management and say, like one day you stand up and you say, hey, I saw employee Bob being treated unfairly. If you do that, you're opposing an unlawful practice and you're putting yourself on the record. So that's the key. You're creating a record. You're creating some evidence that you're opposing a practice that's unlawful. And that's going to set up a claim for the whistleblower slash retaliation status. You're listening to Know Your Rights on Clay 1180 AM. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Jack Box, and for the millions of Americans living with a taco obsession, my new $3 taco deal with three of the tacos you love and a small drink can offer relief. Relief for people like Janet, who changed her name to Mrs. Taco.
Actually, it's Ms. Taco.
Or Dave, who celebrates Taco Tuesday every day.
Taco Tuesday!
No, Dave, it's Sunday. And it's your wife's birthday.
Oh, I should get her some tacos!
So please, try my $3 taco deal today. New at Jack in the Box. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Small fountain drink.
Hi, I'm Noah. from Know Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.knowyourrights.com. See what resources are there. See how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@knowyourrights.com, and we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Know Your Rights on Clay 1180 AM, your conversation station. It's May Day, and things are heating up in the city of Seattle on this beautiful day. Looks like the protesters, including some alleged anarchists, are circling the parade route or circling the paraders as they head into the city. They're approaching 4th Avenue. They're on Jackson underneath or close to the I-5 bridge. So it's Jackson and probably like 9th or 10th Street over there. So if you're working in Seattle, you're somewhere towards that Pioneer Square location, you might want to start thinking about closing down business a little bit earlier, getting your car, jumping on a bus, or grabbing the light rail and heading out of town, because things are going to shut down pretty quickly here. It's a special day, May Day, and hopefully we end up celebrating the good of it, which is looking at worker/employee rights. And that's what we're doing today. We're talking about employment law. This is part two of a multi-part segment on your rights in an employment law context. And we're talking about retaliation we did just before the break. One thing I should add about retaliation is that, you know, when you have whistleblower status, when you have this protected retaliatory moniker status attached to you as an employee because you've reported something or you've stood up to something or you've testified or you filed a complaint or a charge, it doesn't mean that you can't be fired. It's unlawful to fire you if we can prove that you qualify under the statute that you have this protected status, but it doesn't mean that the employer can't still fire you. You know, and that's a tough situation to be in when you depend on that income and the employer turns around and also opposes your unemployment compensation claim and says that you were fired for cause. So hiring a lawyer isn't necessarily going to get your job back. And in most cases, that's not going to happen. And it's not going to be a quick fix to get money either. These cases sometimes take a lot of time. Sometimes they can take 3 years, maybe even longer, depending on the circumstances. Sometimes it can be a lot faster, but you just got to be aware of that. These aren't necessarily quick fix cases, but you can get a lawyer involved and you can try to increase the speed in which you act and ask that your lawyer take quick action to file if you can file quickly, and then to go ahead and proceed in the lawsuit to try to maybe you ask that your rights be restored, your position be restored, but if not, at least your compensation be restored, past and future, if you're not then working, or if you're working for less than what you were making before, for the difference in the income and the reduction of income, because you're entitled to all that. So if the two actions, the key here though is, in order to have protected reporting or being involved in the defense of others, you've got to link the two actions. That is, reporting on something that bad that happened, something illegal, and the firing or other effect on your terms of employment. You don't actually have to be terminated to have a claim for whistleblower retaliation, but it could end up being what's called a question of fact, and that's for the jury to decide whether or not your terms and conditions of employment were affected. I'll give you an example. If you're demoted, if you were a senior supervisor or manager, or you just had some senior position, and then you're demoted to like this more beginning sort of rookie desk job that didn't have any supervisory capabilities, or you didn't have the control that you had before, and maybe most important, it doesn't come with the pay that you had before, that clearly affects the terms and conditions of your employment. If you are the only person working outside, I'd say that clearly affects your terms of employment, especially if it's winter time. Also, another example that I think is, I think this affects your terms of employment, but I had a jury disagree with me. I believe that was the basis of the jury disagreeing with me on this, because this really should have been the only issue for them to decide. And that's whether or not being written up, if you're in a progressive discipline system that many people are that work for county, city, or have a union-based force, they end up adopting a progressive discipline system. And each time you're written up, it adds to it, they're adding on top of each other, and to the point that you reach like DEFCON 5 and you're terminated, because one more write-up and you're gone. Progressive discipline, it keeps ratcheting up, saying you've been warned about this, you've been warned about this, now you're written up about this, you're written up about this, and that's it. One more and you're done. I had a case where the employee, and this was a state entity, where the employee had been, we argued, retaliated against for standing up for racial discrimination in the workplace, and she had been continually written up to the point that one more anything she did, chewing gum at work, coming in late, staying exactly till 5 if she was supposed to leave at 5 and left at 4:59, or maybe talking to others during work time when she should have been working. I mean, really basically anything that you can think of that could get potentially someone in trouble that normally does not, that could have been grounds for termination. And it wasn't fair to have her at DEFCON 5 continuously every day while she's working at this state agency. So that was my argument to the jury, and ultimately they didn't find that that her terms, and this is what the state agency argued, that her terms and conditions of employment had not been affected, but I disagree with that. So you can think of other ways that your terms and conditions can be affected, but you need to link the two actions, that your terms and conditions were affected and that it was because of your standing up for someone, or you're reporting or testifying in a proceeding, executing your rights basically under this retaliation statute or the Washington law against discrimination. So what do you have to prove? You have to prove that you opposed an unlawful practice that the employer or coworker, someone within the employer was engaged in an unlawful practice, i.e. like a discriminatory one. And then that the action, the firing or other action, such as demotion or lower pay, was a substantial factor in your in the employer's actions against you. So that you have to relate, and I, this is just restating what I said a moment ago, that you have to prove, one, that you're opposed to unlawful practice. Number two, that something that your terms and conditions of employment were affected, and that they're related. That there's a substantial factor present, i.e. that your reporting on the unlawful conduct by the employer was a substantial factor in the employer deciding to take action against your employment status to affect the terms and conditions. So you just have to link the two, i.e. that the employer retaliated against you because of your protected activity. The employer is very rarely, if ever, going to come out and say, yeah, we fired Bob because he filed an EEOC complaint, or because Bob said he's standing up to sexual harassment in the workplace, so we fired him for that, because that's not what kind of company we want to have, is people standing up and telling us what to do or how to run our business. Instead, I mean, if you think about it, of course, usually the company They're going to look to your employment file. If they want to fire Bob for standing up for sexual harassment, if he makes an announcement one day in front of the company and said, that's it, I'm tired of everyone here sexually harassing Cindy, and this has got to stop, and all these jokes that go over the edge, it's not appropriate for the employment workplace. It's not appropriate to have this going on when we're trying to come in here and just do our job. So that's what Bob says. The company then meets and says, geez, we got to get rid of Bob. He's a real problem. You know, he's really cutting down on our fun time here at work. And so he's probably going to get us in some trouble. So we got to let him loose. So what does the company do? It looks into your employment file to try to find another justification to fire you. If there's nothing there, then they try to conjure up one, i.e. that's the write-up phase. And you see that in so many cases where an employee goes from exemplary reviews before, like, for example, filing an EEOC complaint, to thereafter constantly getting poor reviews and constantly being written up. What that's called is circumstantial evidence. And it's real evidence. It's not direct evidence, i.e. you don't have a statement from the employer saying, we fired Bob or we affected the terms and conditions of his employment because we were retaliating against him for taking a stand to protect people that were being sexually harassed or discriminated against. That would be direct evidence if you had a statement like that. You usually don't have that. You have circumstantial evidence, but circumstantial evidence is still strong evidence. People say one way to describe this, people, lawyers, say one way to describe it, like if you're going to talk to a jury, is if it's raining, if you wake up and it's wet outside, but you didn't see it rain, you can say it rained last night. That's circumstantial evidence. It's wet outside and there's no other justification or no other explanation for it being wet outside unless it rained. So you make that conclusion, that's circumstantial evidence. The water, the grounds being wet outside is circumstantial evidence. Now, if it's only wet in an area, maybe the sprinklers were on in that particular area. But that's all circumstantial evidence that can be used for your case at trial. Another way that you can get circumstantial evidence or to help prove your case of being treated unfairly, being written up, being retaliated against without direct evidence is showing or proving that other employees do the same type of activity that you do. They take smoke breaks. They take an hour and 5 minutes for lunch instead of an hour. They come in late every day by 5 minutes, or everybody talks to Cindy. I'm the only person that's been written up for talking to Cindy, but everyone does it. If you're able to show that other folks engage in the same activity that you are, but they're not written up, that's another example of circumstantial evidence that can show the employer's motive in trying to single you out. So you argue that the write-ups are a pretext, i.e., I'll just use today's favorite term, fake news, or a contrived justification designed, because that's really what this is, a contrived justification designed to mask the real reason for termination, which was an unlawful reason, i.e., the retaliation. If you feel you've been retaliated against and either discharged or forced to quit, we also recognize in Washington the idea or notion of constructive discharge when you quit on your own because you're being forced out. So you're forced to quit, discharge, or the conditions of your employment have been severely affected, severely negatively affected. You need to talk to a lawyer, or you need to file a charge complaint with the State Human Rights Commission or maybe the EEOC, depending on the situation. And I've put both the EEOC and the Washington State Human Rights Commission website link on our website, www.knowyourrights.com. So you can visit there, go to our resources page, and you can click on the EEOC site or the State Department of Human Rights, and it'll take you through so you can figure out how to file the complaint, and they'll have a form there for you. You could do it online. All right, but you need to talk to someone. Don't let that go by. If you're retaliated against, stand up for your rights. Don't let the employer push you around or push your coworkers around. You have rights, and the law will protect you. You're listening to Know Your Rights on Clay, 1180 AM.
Right now, Cholula, one of America's favorite hot sauces, is teaming up with Jack in the Box for the Cholula Buttery Jack. With Cholula hot sauce, crispy jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese on a signature bun. Try it with Cholula fries. Jack! Can you
cool it with the guitar, please?
Sorry, just got a little excited about the burger.
Try the Cholula Buttery Jack from Jack in the Box, part of the Buttery Jack family. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Unbelievable.
I'm done.
Hi, I'm Noah from Noah Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.noahyourrights.com. See what resources are there. See how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@noahyourrights.com, and we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
This is the story of a boy wizard whose name was Larry Smarter.
Larry, why weren't you in Professor Dinky Doodle's mythical creature classification class?
Larry wanted to go to college, so he visited knowhowtogo.org to find which classes he really needed.
You missed the lesson on telling dragons from dragonflies.
Right. I want to go to college, so I'm taking Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language.
Foreign language? You mean so you can talk to unicorns?
Well, not exactly. Unless they're French.
But Larry had no time for unicorns, or even for Miss Petunia Tutti's time-traveling tutorial, which met every other yesterday at 25 o'clock.
Sorry I'm late. My snarkball game went into overtime.
And he knew knowhowtogo.org was way better than hoping for a snarkball scholarship. So, while his friends all aced invisibility, when Larry finally got to college, they were nowhere to be seen.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Noah Your Rights, the show dedicated to helping you, the listener, understand your legal rights and resources available to you. This is May Day. We're broadcasting live from Tacoma, Lakewood, Washington. We've been given some warnings out to those folks in Seattle as the parade march of workers' rights heads right down into the downtown core. It's going to go through Pioneer Square and undoubtedly past the federal building, and maybe the terminus is going to be the Westlake Park area. And I think there's already some protests and demonstrations going on down there. So you might want to try to head out a little bit early, but at the same time, I hope you're tuning in, because we're talking exactly what May Day is about, and that's workers' rights. We're talking about employment law and what your rights are in the employment context. Obviously, your employment is so important to you. It's what puts food on the table and a roof over your head, and we've got to have it. It's work. We don't always like it, but it's necessary. It's a necessary part of life, unless maybe you're living in a Buddhist monastery, or a temple, there's nothing wrong with that, of course, but you know, unfortunately, work makes the and money makes the world go round. So we've got to protect our rights, and that's what today's show is about. We're talking retaliation. We're talking whistleblower status. We're going to turn over to some military discrimination, active duty deployment discrimination here in a moment, and then we're going to just really touch the iceberg on sexual harassment. But I think we're going to be able to cover a little bit of that today, and then we're going to save another show for employment discrimination, disability discrimination, and age discrimination, which are all obviously very serious forms of discrimination too, and are entitled to have their lifetime. And if you suffer from any of those types of discrimination, you certainly need to have a show dedicated to educating you and informing you of what your rights are in those circumstances as well. But even when we talk about retaliation, when we talk about sexual harassment, some of the claims, the legal claims or bases sort of flow over into the other areas, and the reporting capacities to the framework for reporting at the EOC or the Human Rights Commission also apply to these, to racial discrimination, to age discrimination, to disability discrimination. Not always entirely. I was just thinking age discrimination, that might not be the case, but there's still some applicability across the board. So it applies generally. So don't take this as just applying only to sexual harassment or to retaliation-based claims. Before we move away from the retaliation realm, whistleblower realm, I just want to make mention of one more thing. And this is not, when we cover these subjects, I cannot be exhaustive in the time that we have. I try to cover some of the main points, but I just cannot be as complete and exhaustive as I would want to be, and as sometimes you need. But I do want to make mention that if you're reporting a safety-related issue, that the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Organization, OSHA, can help protect you, as there are some 22 federal laws that give you whistleblower protection. Those statutes are also listed on our website, knowyourrights.com, www.knowyourrights.com. So you check that out. It'll take you directly to that page, the OSHA page that has those 22 federal statutes that would give you, under federal law, protection as a whistleblower if you made a report for one of the things there. I think, for example, as asbestos, if you make a report of asbestos, the employer terminates you, you're going to have special whistleblower status under OSHA, the federal law. But there might be a size of employer requirement before OSHA applies. Otherwise, it's going to come back to the state, and you having rights to enforce under the labor and the L&I, and state of Washington counterpart to L&I, Labor and Industries. Okay, so let's transition over to the military for a moment. And where I really want to focus on with respect to the military is the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. It's of 1994. Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. It's called USERRA. What USERRA does is it guarantees returning veterans reemployment with their former employers, and it prohibits employers from discriminating against veterans based on their military service. The federal statute for USERRA can be found at 38 USC, that's United States Code, 38 USC, section 4301 through 4335. If the employee who is called to active duty service serves under 5 years, USERRA requires that the employer, and that's all employers, it means your county, city, state, there's not an exemption here. It also requires small businesses. There's no number limitation. I've mentioned a couple times about federal law having number limitations. In most cases, it's like 15. You got to have 15 employers before the federal law applies. In the state of Washington, it's often 8 employers for the law to apply. However, because of the public policy of our state is to eradicate just all forms of discrimination, I think that 8-person number is really not even necessary, that it's going to apply to almost any business, if not every business in the state of Washington. But USERRA doesn't have that limitation. So it doesn't matter how many people you employ, whether it's 1 or 100 or 1,000, you're gonna be governed by USERRA, and you need to follow. So if you're an employer listening, you need to follow the statute and be aware of it. If someone's deployed on active duty, called up for active duty status and deployed, then they're going to have certain rights to come back to the workforce at your place of work, your business, and you're going to have to restore them. So the USERRA, what it requires is that you reemploy the employee without any additional hurdles, so long as the employee gave you notice of an impending return. So they're out on active duty status. They tell you, I've been called up, I'm leaving next week or in 2 weeks or whatever the case is, tomorrow. And then they go on deployment. As long as it's not over 5 years, 5 years is a pretty long call up, and in most cases it's not going to be. So they're out, they're deployed on active duty status. You get an email or a letter, and the employee says, I'm going to return. I'm leaving active duty status here in 2 weeks or a month, and I'd like to return to my job. And then the employee's got to send you what's called a form DD-214, which is the discharge from duty form. The veterans know about that, and they'll bring that form with them or send it to you, or the military agency, they'll ask that they send that directly to you. And then they got to be honorably discharged. They can't be dishonorably discharged. So as long as they're honorably discharged, they gave you notice of impending return, and then you get the form DD-214. If they meet those conditions, you, the employer, cannot limit or delay their reemployment in any way, period. You can't say, well, you know, remember that great guy Bob from the other company, he got fired for standing up for workers' rights? Well, we hired Bob to take your job, and so now we're only a 3-person business or a 20-person business or whatever the case is, and we don't have room for you. No, it doesn't work that way. You're going to have to let Bob go, or you're going to have to keep Bob and bring you back, the veteran back, but you cannot not rehire the veteran. That job has special status, and the fact that they were called up for active duty deployment means that you must preserve that job for them to return. We will not allow, under the federal law or state law counterpart, discrimination based on someone's call to duty. I mean, it is the biggest, obviously, the biggest sacrifice that someone can make, and it's the biggest duty of honor to their country, and we're not going to let employers discriminate against someone, even if there's an economic reason behind it, small business. We can't go without hiring someone. You can hire someone to fill that position, but let them know it's temporary, because when the person comes back, you're going to have to rehire that person. And so for you, the veteran, you get your old job back, or you get a position of like seniority, status, and pay. That's the test. You either get the exact job back, or you get the job that just looks exactly like what you had before. Plus, you got to get back your status and your pay. Your employer cannot place additional, and this is another really important criteria that employers are, and I've recently filed suit against a county employer for doing this, and I can't believe that that counties, agencies, employers are doing this. I don't think that they understand USERRA or what obstacles or hurdles they can place on people, but you get you cannot have an employer place additional prerequisites. They're not allowed to do that. Like, they can't make you take additional tests or fill out additional applications or to recertify unless there's a separate federal recertification outside of them. They can't do psychological testing, drug testing, lie detectors, or background checks. These are all known as rescreening, and it's seen as additional prerequisites. They're not permissible under USERRA. I don't know why employers are doing that. I don't get it. Restore the person like they've never left. If everyone in your company or your agency is going to have to undergo a lie detector test and on an annual basis or background check, fine if everyone does that, but it cannot be a condition of reemployment. You have to be taken back to your position, be given it, everything that you had before, just as if you had never left. On top of that, returning veterans who are deployed for over 90 days, they're entitled to be reemployed to the position that they would have had there not been an interruption for active duty. So what does that mean? That means that the employee is entitled to reemployment in the position or job that she would have had, he or she would have had, with reasonable certainty, if not for the absence. So if you have a, let's just say you're a fire person, a fireman, firewoman, and the way that the seniority status works is that every 2 years, as long as you have regular, consistent reviews, nothing extremely negative, i.e. you don't fail a review, so every 2 years you get a bump in rank. Maybe it's every year or every 6 months, but you get a bump in rank. You're deployed for 2 years, active duty status. You end up doing the prerequisites I talked about, give notice, fill out the discharge form. You're also honorably discharged, and you return to work. You're not only entitled to the same job that you had before, but you're entitled to get the bump up as for time served, as if you stayed in that job, meaning the people that you started with aren't going to be 2 years ahead of you if you're deployed for 2 years or 6 months or a year, whatever the case is. You're going to be right with them. You get the automatic bump up because, again, we don't discriminate against people. You get called to duty. You're making a major sacrifice, a huge sacrifice that most people aren't making, and we're not going to treat you unfairly because of it. You're going to get that bump up. That's called an escalator provision. It's the USERRA escalator provision, and it's a super important one for you to get that time in service. So that should apply across the board to benefits. Whether it's a 401k benefits, whether it's a seniority status benefit, whatever it is, pay calculator benefit, you should be entitled to it. If you oppose what was happening to you, so let's say you go back to your job as you're a veteran, you go back after active duty, and you are asked to retake a test. You're asked to retrain in certain areas before you get your job back. You're asked to jump through a bunch of hoops. And you end up saying, you know what? I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do any of this. Well, you're also going to get special protection there under the whistleblower statute for retaliation. That whole segment that we just talked about is going to apply to you because you're going to be retaliated against if the employer doesn't do what they need to do under the USERRA statute. So you'll get the special whistleblower status as long as you put it on the record. You're listening to Know Your Rights on Clay, 1180 AM. Stick around.
Hi, I'm Jack Box, and for the millions of Americans living with a taco obsession, my new $3 taco deal with three of the tacos you love and a small drink can offer relief. Relief for people like Janet, who changed her name to Mrs. Taco.
Actually, it's Ms. Taco.
Or Dave, who celebrates Taco Tuesday every day.
Taco Tuesday!
No, Dave, it's Sunday. And it's your wife's birthday.
Oh, I should get her some tacos!
So please, try my $3 taco deal today. New at Jack in the Box. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Small fountain drink.
Hi, I'm Noah from Noah Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.noahyourrights.com. See what resources are there. See how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@noahyourrights.com, and we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Know Your Rights, the show dedicated to helping educate you, the listener, on your legal rights and resources available to you. Make sure you email me topics and concerns that you have at noah@noahyourrights.com. Check out our website, www.noahyourrights.com. Remember, there's two R's in there. You can also go to clay1180ams.com's website, and they have a link over to the noahyourrights.com website as well. It's May Day. We've got another update on the May Day protesters heading into the Seattle core. I believe they're at or about 4th in Yesler right now, so heading their way potentially over to the federal building, maybe to meet up with another group that's marching their way from the Westlake Plaza. So if you have, if you haven't left yet and you can get out of downtown Seattle, now may be a good time to go. So jump on a bus, get on the light rail, grab your car from the garage, and head out of there. Otherwise, lock it down. The police are advising people do lock doors and windows, and take in recyclables and trash and other objects that could be thrown or that are out there left around your business that could be used to smash a window or something like that. You never know, right? You never know. And it just takes a moment and some hooligan out there to really drive up the angst in the crowd and to take some action that damages a lot of property and hurts others. So be careful, be safe. And but also, let's celebrate May Day, right? And that's for the workers, the workers' rights. There was a time, Industrial Revolution, when we were really growing as a nation, and industries, manufacturers really trounced on people's rights. There wasn't a minimum wage. There wasn't federally protected wage. There weren't federally protected or state protected rights. If you wanted the job, you're going to do whatever the employer told you to do. You're going to work whatever hours the employer told you to work in whatever conditions they gave you, and that was it. You were going to put up or shut up, and that, unfortunately, is the situation in a lot of places in the world right now, and we've developed as a nation, we've developed laws to protect workers, and May Day, in part, is a stand-up for the workers' day, and although I think we lose sight of that somewhat with anarchists and rising up against what they think is the 1% and those that have money and trying to destroy the fabrics of society, I guess, or rebel against it. I don't think that that's the real purpose of today. The real purpose of today is in the spirit of the workers, and that's what today's show is devoted to. devoted to you, the worker, because it, as I've said before, our employment is so important to us, and we need to know and understand what our rights are. I've been talking about USERRA, and that's the federal statute that protects veterans when they're called up to active duty. So they're working in private employment, they get called up to active duty, and then they're honorably discharged, want to return to work. The employer cannot put conditions on their return to work. If they do, they're going to violate USERRA, and they're going to get hit with pretty steep penalties. If you're called up to active duty, so that's the situation that affects you, and you end up trying to return to work, and either you don't get your job back or your old job back, or it's not the same job, or there's additional hurdles, you need to contact a lawyer, or you can file a complaint with the U.S. Department of Labor. But please do one or both. Don't let that stand. Don't let that stand by. Let's talk sexual harassment. The hashtag MeToo movement has been pretty prominent as of lately. You, no doubt, you can't hardly do anything without seeing a hashtag MeToo, some reference to the MeToo movement, with recently Bill Cosby being accused by dozens and dozens, I mean, the numbers might even be in the hundreds now, of women of sexual assault so sort of on a continuum there, from sexual assault to inappropriate behavior to actually rape by drug that he was administering. In addition to Bill Cosby, there are the prominent Hollywood directors and actors, congressmen, and even the president being accused of sexual harassment, sexual abuse, or similar improprieties. So the movement, which has taken the TV and movie world, awards world, I mean, if you go back to the Oscar and you go back to the other shows, the other award show, it's really awakened a national consciousness, and it's empowered women and sometimes men, and men can be part of the Me Too movement too, but it's really empowered women mostly to stand up against more economically or situationally, depending on their status, the position of power, or physically powerful harassers. Besides the criminal conviction that came down against Bill Cosby, Ashley Judd, putting her name out there because she's been in the news, she's now filed a sexual harassment retaliation/defamation suit against Harvey Weinstein. If you remember, he was one of the mega moguls, the directors, producers in Hollywood that's been dethroned by the Me Too movement, by women coming forward talking about all the horrendous things that this guy made him do or did to them or tried to do to them in his, often it was his hotel room, a breakfast meeting in his hotel room that he arranged where he just would strip down and try to get sexual favors or do things to them, to these women, if they wanted parts in his movie, his upcoming movies and productions, or wanted to advance their careers. So what is, and so in Ashley Judd's case, because it was an employment-like related situation, and that's a little bit different than some of the other cases that we're going to talk about, but because it is employment-related, she's brought this sexual harassment retaliation-type claim, saying that because she didn't give in to what Weinstein wanted, that he ended up blacklisting her from opportunities in future movies. So what is sexual harassment in the workplace? And, well, it really falls into two types, quid pro quo or hostile work environment. Quid pro quo sexual harassment usually occurs when a supervisor or person with a promotion or benefit type control, that when they control the advancement for you for benefits or your salary or your position, or even have the control over whether you can continue to be employed, and they condition any of those items on a return for sexual favors, that's a quid pro quo sexual harassment situation, and it's obviously unlawful. You cannot condition the terms of conditions of employment or advancement or your job on the return of sexual favors. That's not appropriate. It's not lawful. Hostile work environment occurs when there's physical or verbal harassment by supervisors or coworkers. It can even be a client or a customer. I mean, if you think about being in a bar, you're a waitress, and there are customers of the bar that are there, and you walk by and they slap you on the butt as a waitress, and you come back and you complain to your manager, say, I'm not going to do this table anymore, and your manager says, you're going to serve them, and you're going to serve them right now. Well, that company is going to be in trouble, in serious trouble. The bar owner or the bar company is going to be in serious trouble for allowing an environment conducive to sexual harassment to transpire there, and not removing the aggressors, either kicking them out, those customers kicking them out, believing the employee and kicking out the customers, or changing tables, just either moving them out of her section or moving the waitress into a different section. And if that employer doesn't do that, they're looking for some trouble, and that's going to be an unlawful situation to put the employee in. If it's a coworker, a client, or a customer, you got to put the supervisors or managers on notice. You got to put people that are in control of decision making, and often it's not required, but often it's persons that have the power to hire or fire. They're the ones that need to know about the sexual harassment that's taking place. If they're on notice, then the company's on notice. And if the company fails to take action, then the company's going to be liable for permitting the harassment to occur. You know, if I can analogize this a little bit, a slip and fall cases, or trip and fall, however you want to call them. If there's ice in a parking lot and it's at Walmart, for example, and it's been there for 2 days and 14 people have slipped and 12 people reported that to Walmart, and they've got evidence of that and there's pictures of it and people have come out and everyone's complaining it's so dangerous, but no one knows, you guys aren't doing anything about it. And then finally someone comes through, the 15th person, and they fall and they break their back or get seriously injured. Walmart's going to be liable because how many people have reported it and they failed to take any action. They didn't put salt on it. They didn't cover it. They didn't warn people. They've done nothing about it, and it created an unreasonably safe condition. Same thing goes with sexual harassment. If you don't do anything about it, if you just let it continue to fester, grow, be allowed that culture, your company is going to be liable for it. You've got to put a stop to it immediately, and you need a sexual harassment policy, and not one that just looks good, because so many companies have that. It's on paper. Oh, well, we have a sexual harassment policy. Yeah, well, what do you do about it? What did you actually really do? And is that sexual harassment policy, is it just for the employer, i.e. so that you can get reports of it, so you know who you can retaliate against? Or is it to actually stop this thing from happening? Whose side are you on here? Are you you're on the harasser's side, or are you going to be on the victim's side? So you need to do an investigation. You need to figure things out, and you need to separate people so those things don't happen again. And everyone needs to be on warning. If the company knows a person that has a history of harassment and does nothing to stop that behavior or mitigate those risks, that can lead to liability too. Because if there's a history of harassment, then that's going to be it's going to be a real factor in holding the company liable. In every situation, you really do look at the context of the situation. You look at the words that are used. You look at the actual conduct that was exhibited by employees or employers or supervisors, and then you make a decision. But in all cases, the employee needs to be reporting that conduct. And you might be entitled to whistleblower status under state law for reporting unwanted touchings or sexually charged language. And this applies to men and women, or same sex on same sex. If there are really bad acts, you might not even need a pervasive culture. Really bad acts can lead to a finding of unlawful harassment. So if you've been harassed or you're in an environment of harassment, you don't have to put up with it. And it doesn't matter if you're at a gym or you're at a bar. You're not entitled to be harassed, or it's not lawful for people to allow a regime of harassment to be to occur in your workplace. Stand up for your rights. Report it to your supervisor. See a lawyer. Report it to the Department of Human Rights Commission if you have to. Check out our website at www.knowyourrights.com for those addresses and those links. But do something. Please reach out to someone, because you're not alone. People can help you. You've been listening to Know Your Rights on Clay 1180 AM. Join us next week, same time, same day, Tuesdays at 4 o'clock. Thanks for listening. Stay safe out there on this May Day, all right? We'll catch you next week. Thanks.